So I don't know if you watched this TikTok that I sent you.
Nope.
The one that I send you every like 20 you send me. But I sent you this TikTok by this dude named Daniel Wall, and it's a fun little video about a Fall Out Boy song that ties its way back into this album that we're talking about. So I don't know if you saw that, but I'm going to talk about it. How about that?
Talk it out.
All right. So, you know the song Centuries by Fall Out Boy?
Yep. You will remember me for them.
Yes, you will remember me for them. It's probably one of their most overplayed songs, but it's still good. So there is a sample in that song from the song Tom's Diner by Suzanne Vega that I am sitting yep. in the coffee in and the coffee of the diner. Yeah. Anybody remembers that TikTok? And it does, and it tells me with the car. So the Fall Out Boy song has a sample from, well, you'll see this. It takes from the song Tom's Diner. And so this guy, Daniel Wall, interviewed Justin Tranter, I believe. Yeah, Justin Tranter, who was one of the writers on the song. And Justin Tranter has credits on the song Believer by Imagine Dragons, Sorry by Justin Bieber, Dance Cake by the Ocean by DNCE, Bad Liar by Selena Gomez. So he's got some pretty big pop writing credits. He interviewed Justin Tranter, and Justin said they were really excited. They played a bunch of different like samples and stuff they could use, and they went with that one, but they had to change it to match Patrick's pitch, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't want it to sound pitch shifted, so they got somebody to sing it. So it's not a sample, it is technically a cover of that little bit from Tom's Diner by Suzanne Vega. And the person that they got to sing that sample is Lolo.
Hey!
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you listen to Centuries by Fall Out Boy and you hear that, that's Lolo, who of course sang Miss Jackson. And that's how we bring it full circle to Panic at the Disco.
That's crazy.
I love shit like that. It's very cool.
No,
I was
shit.
Like, whoa, what the fuck?
It also, you know, as much as we talk about it often on this podcast, like it does really bring it all together that this is just one giant fucking family. Really?
Yeah, they just use the same friends, the same people.
Yeah.
I always thought it was funny. So one of the songs we could talk about like in the interim is $20 Nosebleed by Fall Out Boy, because Brendan is on that track, which is it's a great song. But yeah, they just like use the same folks and people and all that other stuff. So it's just cool. I thought it was a cool, fun fact. I was like, no way. That's really neat. Nepo Music.
We love
was,
it.
Was that DJ Khaled's track? Nepo Music. Another one.
Another.
We the best. We the best music. DJ Khaled's a fucking loser, too.
Oh, man. I saw a video on Twitter where, like, his kid was honored for something at school. Like, this was, like, an elementary school. And he made a big scene about running up in front of everybody to fucking hug him and all that. Like, yeah, DJ mm-hmm. Khaled's just a little bit of a loser. Nothing wrong with
extra.
Nothing wrong with hugging your kid, but fuck's sake, let them have the moment. You don't need it.
Yeah. You need to fucking step all over their moment.
No shit.
He needs everything to be about him all the time.
Yeah.
And he's one of the few people that like wasn't able to have like a fun, like his interview with Nardwar was not fun like the other ones are. And if you can't have a fun interview with Nardwar, then you're the problem.
You're the not fun one.
You're the problem. Yeah. Nardwar is a gem.
What a mess.
Love Nardwar.
DJ Khaled.
We have to know.
Fuck.
Like DJ Khaled was like, oh, now you're talking about my family. Now you're talking about my family. And it was like such a like innocent question. It was just like, oh, like, I don't like bringing my family up in. Where you know? Where you get? Like, shut the fuck
wow,
up.
Wow. No, thanks, man.
Yeah, he's just fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Who would have thought DJ Khaled not a fun person to talk to?
Yeah, tell me about it. We the best music.
It's like, okay. I wonder if how is that how he starts interviews too?
I hope not.
It'd be awesome.
If you were a producer that you're like a rap producer, what would your like production tag be?
Oh God. Would I have to shout it at the beginning of everything?
Yeah, it's the thing that is said. Cause there's like the subtle, well, I mean, I guess not subtle anymore, but like the like Pharrell has a production tag, but it doesn't shout it, but like all of his songs start with that like four count.
Yeah.
So an instrument or like a beat or something is like, it starts with a dun, 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 just like a four count. And that's how you know it's a Pharrell track. But if you, so it could be something like that, but knowing us, it's probably going to be more ostentatious than that. So what would your rap tag be?
Onomatopoeia audio.
Oh man. Mine would be like something like, Goon City, we out here.
We legal.
We legal.
That's fucking.
Let's go.
Oh man. Welcome to Adam and Sam of the Disco. We have touched January and we're inside of it.
No, no.
Let's just restart
no,
just that
start,
one.
No, start over. Start over.
Welcome.
Start the fuck over.
To Adam and Sam of the Disco. Come on in. It's a little chilly outside. Come on in. Have a seat. Roast your chestnuts on the open fire. It's not even Christmas anymore.
We're past that.
It's
not even Christmas for us anymore.
It's not even Christmas for us anymore. We're past it. We're 2 days past it. I'm just going to tell you not to forget to close the goddamn door. I am Adam.
You're also a son of a bitch. I'm Sam.
This is Adam and Sam of the Disco. We're a podcast about Panic at the Disco.
Wow.
Fantastic for us, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
We're in the bonus tracks, baby.
Yeah.
Not even as many of them, and I have far less hate than I did for many of those.
Would you say hate, though, for last albums?
I don't know if it was really hate, but maybe just a solid... I don't even know.
It feels like you were whelmed by them.
Maybe.
You were humed by most kinda of them.
I was probably more indifferent to those than I would be these. Aside from Kaleidoscope Eyes that like I really loved, I do have thoughts about next week's bonus track, but yeah, I think I like these more than I liked the collective of those. Although even with only two songs, like, you know, Can't Fight Against the Youth and All of the Boys still distinctly different from one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's what I'll say about these. So let's start at the start before we start talking about other stuff.
Let's top the top
today. Let's top the top and bottom the bottom. How's that sound?
Kinky.
Kinky. Everybody's doing different stuff. So today we're talking about the song, the bonus track, the 11th track on Too Weird to Live, Too Weird to Die. Can't Fight Against the Youth. It's certainly a song.
Yep.
That sounded way worse than I actually think. I really, really like this song. Actually. Let's start with a segment that Adam likes to call. I didn't even think about this song.
I feel all right. I feel all right about the song. He's still using this vocoder effect, which I think really helps it fit in, you know, kind of what the battle that we have, the last round of bonus tracks. And this is the last round of bonus tracks we'll ever have, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, it might be.
I think so.
Yeah, actually.
But I feel like these two songs could have been slotted or interswapped in probably easier than the last four that we did. You know, like trying to find a spot for Kaleidoscope Eyes and anything else on there would have been a pain in the ass. But I feel like either of these two could have slotted in, and dare I say one probably could have been interchangeable with a song on the album. But this one's not that for me. Like, this isn't the interchangeable song for me. But I still feel like if it lived in the album, it would feel okay. You know, and it's probably still due to that, you know, that vocoder effect that I mentioned, but not bad. I mean, I don't feel like either of these to me ring like Target bubblegum levels of bullshit.
Yeah.
Although I don't know who this is the rallying cry for.
I don't know. It seems like it tracks to me. Okay, let me throw this at you. So, you know how I talked about how the album proper, 10 tracks, right? Yeah. Don't really feel like a bridge from the first three into the next three. It feels like it's kind of this own standalone thing.
For sure.
Right? Yeah. I feel like Can't Fight Against the Youth feels like a bridge from Vices into Too Weird. I feel like Can't Fight Against the Youth bridges into All the Boys, and I feel like All the Boys bridges into Death of a Bachelor.
I could fuck with that.
And with Can't Fight Against the Youth too, it's like the basic sort of, because I think this one bridges as well, but it's like the basic nucleus. Because like a lot of what he started doing after this album was like songs about how, you know, being young and getting into all this stuff and look, Ma, I made it and all this other stuff and like look what I did and all this other things.
Right.
Can't Fight Against the Youth feels like this basic, like it feels like the start, like, you know how you have to have a starter
when
you make sourdough. Yeah. Like this feels like the starter for like that vibe.
Sure. Yeah. You gotta bakes the bread, baby.
You gotta bakes the bread. You gotta makes the bread to bake the bread. So that's what I think about this song. I like it. Adam maybe doesn't like it quite as much, but that's okay. Before we get too deep into it, though, we got some stuff to talk about on the Spotify.
Yeah.
We've got to go back to Girls, Girls, Boys. Annie Blue 012.
Oh, yes.
They commented on Girls, Girls, Boys. They said, the first time I heard the song, I was a very sheltered, repressed, unaware queer. The song story... I'm not laughing at that. The way that I like elongated the word queer made it seem very hateful. Very hateful. And it's not my intention. I also am queer. I don't know why I said it like that, but it's like, first time I heard the song, I was a very sheltered, repressed, unaware queer. The song story is what it is. But the chorus broke my brain at the time. It ain't my queer anthem, but it do be a bop, which I fully get, understand.
Yeah.
And vibe with. We talked about Aaron's name.
Yes.
We do have some comments on
Feels like Christmas both
happened today as we're recording this. We got one from Annie Blue 112 again in all caps here. Why every time Sam's nipples get hard, I'm listening at work, I can't keep putting up with this. By the way, he's dumber for coming up with this idea. I will accept the second part.
Yes.
I'm fully on board with that. If you vote me dumb for this, fine with me. Not mad about it. What I will say though, Adam, we've been doing this podcast for a little bit over a year.
Yeah. Just a hair.
A little bit over a year. And you know what makes daddy's nipples real hard?
Consistency.
It's people listening to this podcast People listening to this podcast at work without headphones.
At this point. I feel like we have, if anything, always stated, don't do that. Please have headphones. We have
a thesis statement for this podcast. You're going to listen to this in a public area or somewhere with professionalism. We're not the ones. Which I love listening to podcasts at work when I worked in an office. Loved that. But Gotta wear those headphones.
Always wear headphones.
This because we had another person. We had a Kirsten freak out because I talked about cum gutters.
Yes. For the
I talked about Brandon's cum gutters.
Foreheads cum gutters.
I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Yuck, I'll fucking do it again. So yeah. Sorry, Annie.
Yeah. We apologize.
We do apologize, but we're gonna keep doing it.
Of course. Yeah.
It's just the way life is. We've also got Aaron Hewell on this one. Thanks for making me nearly crash my car with whimsical, probably pronounced humsical. I absolutely died. So it seems like
I'm glad that she appreciated that. I'm glad that that there was no ill will, and I see like, that we are equally voted, so I can only assume that it is my fourth favorite listener's vote for me.
Probably. I'm glad to know that Aaron is in on the new bit. RIP Hewell.
Yeah, no more Hewells here.
Long live Hewell. But yeah, we are tied for dumbest votes. I imagine that you, Aaron, is yours and Annie is mine, which is fine.
I do appreciate the appreciation for the joke before the explanation has even come out.
Yeah. Because now as you're hearing this, you now know that we have been pronouncing Aaron's last name incorrectly for this entire year.
Yeah.
But now that we have the correction, it's just going to get more bat wild and buck wild and all those other things like that. Casual Affair, Far Too Young to Die. 2 votes for Adam and 1 vote for Sam. Let's see. Girls, Girls, Boys, 1 vote for Adam. And I think that is it. Girl That You Love, Nicotine was tied 1-1 when it closed. I think we might have talked about that. Colorful's yeah,
Colorful's been out for a day here.
The End of All Things has not been released yet, so we'll see what beautiful things come up on that episode next episode.
Yeah.
No, not next episode.
Well, previous episode now.
Previous.
Yeah. We fuck ourselves sometimes by doing this.
Sometimes. Sometimes we do. And it's okay to love yourself, but maybe not like
no.
That. No. So thank you all for writing in and being in on the joke with us.
Of course.
It's always nice.
Thanks for still listening, Aaron. We will. Yeah, Q well, if that is your real name.
Still need those iTunes reviews. So if you're up on iTunes, drop a review. We'll read it on the air.
Yeah.
I will say we've gotten 2 reviews with written reviews and 1 review. And we're sitting at a 5.0 average with 3 reviews.
That's good. So that feels pretty solid. We're still at like a 4.3 on Spotify. Not like theirs really matters. I don't know if they do anything with theirs.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's like a place, I don't know if there's a place to read if people can write those reviews or
on Spotify. No, it's literally just on podcasts where you get to interact like this, you know, like we've been doing. But that's literally it. And then, it's got the star rating, like I said, but you get nothing tied to it. You get a count and a star.
Get a count and a star. And that's really all we can ask for at the end of the day. Oh, can't fight against the youth.
Yeah.
We've got produced by Butch Walker, written by old boy. Get Down On It, Dallin Weeks and Butch Walker, bass by Get Down On It, lead vocals by, you guessed it,
Boy.
Labels, Fueled by Ramen, DCD2.
Love it, love it, love it. Tags are rock, pop rock, synth rock, and electro pop.
Bop.
What is this like?
And of course, we did talk about.
Is this like 8 months officially after the release of the album? Because I know this album didn't come out in 2014.
Well, no, because it released with the
that would make sense.
What are you talking
about? Well, it shows release date of May 6, 2014.
I don't know about some of these release dates.
Yeah, probably best to go about that.
Because this song dropped with the... So actually what I wanted to talk about, because this song... the Japanese release of the album and the Target release of the album came with the two bonus tracks. Also, I think they came with the Nicotine EP as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you fit those two markets in together? I'm just curious.
Well, I don't know. I feel like Japanese people may also be fascinated with the idea. I don't know if there's Targets in Japan, but Japanese people are really like fascinated by like certain American stores that they bring in and make better.
Yeah.
Like they do American stores better than we do. So like maybe they're obsessed with Target like we are, and
that would make sense. Just a little odd. Just too, you know, you've got a pretty fucking on. You've got like a whole nation of people and Target, which I guess Target in itself is kind of like a nation of people.
Yeah, it's like it's the Target nation.
Yeah. You know, you got red balls and bullseyes. I mean, who doesn't love either of those things?
Oh fuck, I can't. It was like right before Christmas, and I was just going to Target to like check out some like sales and see what was going on. Yeah. And I was walking out, and this like couldn't have been more than like four or five, maybe six, but this very young kid, fucking Naruto, runs past me.
Nice.
And his dad like walks past me, and then I hear, "Dad, it's the balls!" just as loud as he possibly can. So fucking good.
I love it. Yeah, we made a number of Target runs for Christmas. And, you know, you walk in there with a cart and you walk out with like five things. If you're a not Target aficionado, like most people are probably.
Yeah.
We're not the, we walked into the Target and spent fucking $500 kind of people.
No, Target is just like a vibe. Like, I will frequently go into Target and not buy anything.
Oh, yeah.
I just like being at Target.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. I think it's a very millennial thing to love Target. And I don't know why.
I think it's a very millennial thing to just like want to walk around stores and not buy anything either.
That's also true. Like, they had like, you know, like those 20, like the 24 hour stores, like the Walmarts and all this stuff. Like, that was something that me and my friends did, like,
yeah,
in high school and post high school, where we would literally just at fucking 1 a.m, we would just go and walk one of these stores and not buy anything. Just walk around and joke around and make mischief and then leave.
Yep.
When we thought that people were looking at us too angrily.
Well, you know, if you're in the freezer aisle at 1:30 a.m, they might be.
Maybe. Oh, man.
I think it's like the same with malls, right? Like, malls have essentially died out. Like, we have one in Wichita that's just very slowly dying, not staying up on their build. So about every 3 weeks, you learn that their electricity was shut off or their water was shut off. And it just won't fucking die.
Yeah.
Like, it was already the lesser of the two malls in Wichita, and the fact that it's still just somehow clinging to life is fucking awe-inspiring in its own little way. Like, if they can survive, so can we.
It's true. We have two in the area out here that actually seem to be doing okay. The one that I'm near is not as popular, I don't think, even though it's still pretty busy, but the one that's further away that we're actually considering moving to next year, moving near next year.
Yeah.
The one that's further away is a little bit more popular with the youths.
Oh, well, you can't fight against them.
Which you cannot fight against. Ah!
Got him.
Full circle. I will say the bonus track thing, Amber on Genius was very, very helpfully says, it says there's it's a bonus track on the Target and Japanese versions of the album. Oh, does it?
Well,
Amber, thank you.
I appreciate those statements. Real genius statements there.
Real genius statements. Not like I just read that. Yeah.
Well.
Oh, Anonymous says, this is not on the Panic at the Disco, Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die album. Ah. Okay, thanks.
Oh. Well, they're bonuses.
Yeah, and we might as well bring it home with the third and last comment. This song is great. GR8.
GR8, baby. Yep. Well, did you see what Brendan said in an interview with People?
What did he say in an interview with People, Adam? I'd like to know.
Brendan Urie Boyd said...
Boyd.
What? It will never not get...
Oh, it's so funny. Really quick, it was available on... the Nicotine EP in the UK only.
Oh, only in the UK.
UK. Okay. What did Brendan say? Tell me what he said.
When I told him I wasn't going to college or on a Mormon mission, that I don't believe in God and I was pursuing music, they were like, you've got to move out. They cooled off. And then when we made our first Panic of the Disco album, I got a care package from my family with this beautiful letter. No matter what, we will always love you.
I imagine that was him talking to his parents.
About his family.
Yeah.
Very nice. You know, that's good. I mean, you don't want a rock star of any caliber who's just like moved out and their family's like, fuck you, I don't know you anymore. And you know there's plenty of them out there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm about to blow up and act like I don't know nobody.
Can't go back to rural Montana. They might not like me anymore.
Perhaps not. Yeah, that's really the only quote about it. But it is like, it is this song that is about, you know, that kind of like looking back on like your youth and your experiences being young and kind of moving forward, which is what we'll talk about here in a second.
And this is not the last time Brendan Urie uses this motif either.
No, it is not. Definitely not the last. But Adam, with your permission, if you don't have anything else to talk about, we could talk about verse one.
Let's speak on it.
Let's preach on it. Let's pray about it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's later. That's later.
Not much later.
Not much later at all. So the first thing we should talk about after hearing that first verse, that first line, moving forward, using all my breath, is lifted wholesale from the song I Melt With You by Modern English.
Nice.
I don't know if you know that song.
No.
I promise you do. I'll sing the chorus. I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
You've seen the difference. That's the chorus. But the first line of that song is moving forward is using all my breath, which is where that line came from, which I didn't even realize until I read sort of like notes about the song.
Sure.
So you know what I'll do? I'm going to play that first little bit of, I Melt With You, just so people can hear it. Because I think people are more used to hearing the chorus and know the chorus.
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever really thought about the lines of the first verse in that way.
Absolutely not.
So, here it is.
I do like how this lyric video is just a Sprendon and Dallin fest that I found.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, it's the video that they use on the fucking Genius page, which is hilarious to me. It's just like a slideshow of just like pictures of Brendan and Spencer and Dallin. And it's like, all right, this is Tell me you use Tumblr without telling me.
Oh,
you use Tumblr.
I hope so.
Oh,
and they've got like God. Fucking hella PowerPoint fucking Jesus transitions. Mm-hmm. I don't know why word just escaped my vocabulary for a second.
Who could say? Should we talk about this video in the music video episode?
Save it.
Save it. Save it.
Because what was it from Pretty Odd that only had like behind the scenes? There was one on there. Like, I feel like we could do the same.
Matt is
right. That's right. Say, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, except way worse.
Maybe less charged.
If you use, I have a theory that if you used Tumblr, any level of seriousness, you're probably neurodivergent.
Absolutely.
And I say that as somebody who is neurodivergent that used Tumblr. So I feel qualified to say
sure.
That. Yeah. So moving forward, using all my breath, I'll make it up to you is all I should have said, which I love as this like reflection about the conversation with his parents. Like I imagine, and again, this is me inferring a situation because I don't know if this is how it actually happened.
Sure.
I do not know him. I don't know if he's talked about like the actual conversation at great length. I just know that he did this and they kicked him out and then blah, blah, blah. But I imagine a conversation like this is incredibly emotionally charged. I would imagine that things were said.
Yeah.
That maybe were regretted.
Probably.
And this feels like a look back at that. That's just like, I'm going to do this. And instead of saying all the things that I said and using all my breath to say all these things that I said, I should have just said, I'll make it up to you, which he wound up doing.
Yeah.
He said, I'll make it up to you. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like just take it with grace, knowing that I'm doing what's best for me and that you will understand someday that I need to do this for me and then go from there.
Right. I mean, nobody wants to disappoint their parents, right? Like even through religious disbeliefs or anything like that, like you still don't want to let your parents down. I guess I can't like blanket that for everybody, but if you have,
no, I don't think it's for everybody.
If you've had like a good relationship, or at least like I don't even know if I want to say like a passable good relationship with your parents, like you still don't want to let them down at the end of the day. Like, yeah, you know that they're still the ones that through 18 years of your life are likely taking care of you, whether it's both or joint or whatever. I mean, so like, you know, like this does not ring to me as an apology statement. Mm-hmm. It reads to me as just the, like, I should have said this, I could have said this, but didn't. And yeah, like you said, like now you're really coming to terms with it, but
yeah, no, I don't see it as an apology statement. I think that he probably has the, I mean, I would assume that someone like Brendan, who's done all this stuff and he has, you know, a beautiful life with his beautiful family, he's got a good relationship, I assume, with his parents now. I would assume that he doesn't have many regrets to look back on.
Right.
I'm sure he has a few, but I don't know that he has many.
Sure.
But it does feel like less of an apology statement, more of like a reflection. It's like, if I could have done it differently, I would have just said, I'll make it up to you and moved on. But I didn't. And now we're here. You know?
Yep.
I realized that I've never actually seen Brendan's parents before. And there's the only picture I could find was on the Panic at the Disco wiki. And it seems like accurate because the picture, and I'll put this on the show notes so everybody else can see it too. But in the picture, like, if that's not his mom, fucking nuts, because he looks just like her. Same smile, same nose, same eyes. The eyebrows are his dad's for sure, but like everything else, like chin, facial structure, everything is his mom.
Oh yeah,
except for his eyebrows.
That's a mama's boy.
That's a mama's boy. That's really funny. Her name is Grace. What do you think his dad's name is?
Peter.
No, it's Boyd.
Boyd.
His middle name is his dad's first name. It's Boyd.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Should have just done first and middle.
Shut up.
Boyd.
Boyd. Pizza. Boyd. Okay, yeah, here's a picture of them, more recent, where his parents look a little bit older than in that photo, just like him, and still looks like his mama. Still looks like his
mama. Wow, hey, look, Maya made it.
Yeah. But yeah, so there's that little beginning part there. Which this next line, the mom and dad look me right between the eyes line, kind of ties back into that, where they're like telling him, like staring him down, you gotta go. And that's
where
it starts. You gotta go.
All right. Not to fucking zooter on this real quick, but in this last picture,
Buffalo.
In this last picture you just sent, are these his brothers?
Maybe.
Interesting.
I actually don't know, because apparently, according to this wiki, which, you know, I don't know that we've ever.
Yeah, he's the youngest of five.
Yeah, he's the youngest of five. Because, like, looking at this picture, the one in the blue, the Boys and Girls Club shirt, does look like his dad with, like, him and his mom's smile.
Sure.
And the guy in the end, I really couldn't tell you.
Just a cousin.
Just a cousin. Let's see. Wait, no. It says the picture is Brendan Urie with his parents and... All right, that caption's just lost the time, I suppose, with his parents and members of the... Boys and Girls Club. So no, they're just people from the Boys and Girls Club.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, that works.
I will say, though, the guy in the blue shirt does look like he could be related to.
Yeah, that's why.
Boyd. Then I awoke a blinding light. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I can, you know, I think we can all maybe realize a moment that our parents, whether through something they said or just like that aha moment all of those years later, which is kind of what this song seems to be. I think we can all kind of resonate with that in some light or another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how many I've had, a lot on like the positive side like this, but
yeah,
I think it's good. It's like a wholesome little thing. It's like a wholesome little angsty, not angsty thing. Right. Which I think kind of, which really like fits with me for this song. Like, you have a person who's still a semi-youth, which is what they all were, you know, in the 60s and 70s when they were singing songs like this. But I think this is like that modern era of a generation's fight song.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of seems like the I think we're alone now kind of vibe.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just with a more synthy pop sound to it.
Mm-hmm. I also think like I awoke a blinding light too, if you think about like what we're talking about, how it's like a, like he's reminiscing about like the past and what happened in his life and you know, like reflecting, like him snapping out of that, waking up, seeing the blinding light of like where he's at and then coming back to it.
Sure.
You know,
kind of moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And then you get to, actually before we move into the chorus, I do also want to talk about that. I do, like we talked about the synthy stuff. I love the beginning, like the I love that the keys there.
Yeah, it's and the interesting
and
open.
And then like the kick drum, the hits. Do. I love that. I like it. Like it a lot. I really do. It's great. It's great.
And I mean, for a while through this first part of the song, like he still rides that monotone sound. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, as it gets further into the first chorus, he starts to lose it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when it opens, it's just so flat and monotone, which I think really it works with the vocoder. And as much as I've like spoke against it, I think that sound, like that distinct pitch of voice, works best with the vocoder.
Yeah. Because you can hear him, like, because he does kind of like have like some of that like monotone to it, but you can hear him like fluctuating in there.
Right.
And then when he sings that, "Mom and Dad look me right between the eyes,"
yeah,
like that sounded awful when I just sang that, like the pitch. Like the,
I mean, that's, but yeah, like you kind of, you nailed it on the head, like with where it goes at least. And I think that like that gives it its own little distinct sound, which I think mm-hmm. really fights against a lot what was actually happening in the bass album, where mm-hmm. most of these songs were just that flat monotone, maybe save for a word or two. But I think writing it as long as he did is kind of what sets mm-hmm. it apart.
Yeah. I also love the after that line, the claps.
Yeah.
I love a good clap. I love being able to clap along to something rhythmically. It gets my lizard brain. My little
lizard. Your goopy keyboard. Goblin brain going.
My goopy goblin brain. I love that. And speaking of things that I love, that maybe you'll say gets daddy's nipples hard, Annie. Let's get into the chorus.
Yeah.
I love the wow.
You got a wow. Oh yeah.
We got so many wow.
Yeah, you do.
Can't fight against the youth. Whoa, whoa. Love it.
Yeah. So fun.
And it's like, yeah, it's very fun. And it's also just like, it's this acceptance and like announcement, this pronouncement, right? And it's real life thing is that no matter what generation, no matter how long things get pushed down and pushed back, the youth of the day always breaks through and shows their rebellious spirit.
Yes.
And you're seeing it with Gen Z right now. You're going to see it with Gen Alpha soon. It's like, we did it as millennials. It goes back as far as you can go. You literally cannot fight against the youth.
No.
They will fight. They will die to be heard and seen. And that's literally what this chorus is about.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Gabe tried to fight us the other day about having to look something up on Urban Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's just, you know, it's not it. It's not right. It's like, kid, let me tell you, us old people, even when we were younger, still had to use Urban Dictionary. Like,
oh, yeah.
If Urban Dictionary is a definition of just the youth, I think it's a horrible place to be. But holy God, do we fucking need it sometimes?
I think so too. I like this chorus because ostensibly it's about like the idea that you can push down the youth of the day as much as you want to.
Yeah.
But they are going to fight for their dreams. They're going to chase their dreams, and you can't stop that because that ties into like his story and what he's talking about. But it also branches outwards, whether it's intentionally or not, to literally everything else. Cause like the youth lead the charge for everything.
Right.
That's literally just how life in the world works. Like eventually the youth are going to take over, and then it'll be the next generation's turn to do the same thing.
Yeah. So. I mean, you got to think about like MGMT's The Youth. And how in one way or another, everybody has found a way to like resonate with that song. And even if it's just that like beginning little fucking synth little electro melody that they do that is seemingly in a lot of movie trailers. I mean, you know, the fact that. Yeah. The fact that it's just, you know, the youth are starting to change. Are you starting to change? Like. I think we all at one point or another in our lives just need a good youth song. The kids are all right, really. Youth. I mean, so I do believe that Brendan Urie made his attempt at it, and I think it's a good song, but it doesn't necessarily hit me on the same way as those songs do, but I think that's fine. And that just comes from like a pretty, and I don't mean this like wholly derogatory, but like a pretty basic chorus.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a lot. It's again, it's the repeating stuff again.
Yeah.
That he and they like to do.
Well, and the concept of you'll never take us alive. Like that's not, you're not really making any statement there with that. You're not pushing the the youth style of song forward there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very much, it does feel like very generic. Like there's not like, it says it has its message and it says what it says. Right. But I think like there needs to be a little bit more meat on it.
Yeah.
For it to like really be this like powerful statement song. So I agree with that. I really like it.
Yeah.
But again, it's, there are songs that do this way better.
Yes.
I think it just so happens that this one is one of the ones that bops pretty hard.
Oh yeah.
And again, too, with the bridge as well, like we'll talk about the bridge when we get to it. I really like what the bridge did with like how it sounds and stuff. But the bridge is basically just like taking the message of the chorus and like slightly expanding on it. Like this is all stuff we've already extrapolated from listening to and reading the chorus.
Right.
It's just saying it in a different way. So it definitely is. It's like entry level youth rebellion.
This is when you finally rip one song and you're like, fuck it, I'm not going to tell mom.
Yeah. Stuff it, mom.
Love it. Yeah. All right, let's verse two it up.
Yeah, let's verse two it up. December 1995. Though I have the thoughts, no one ever heard them right. But resistance nearly. This time frame, he would have been 8.
Wow.
Yeah. Late December 1995. He would have been 8 years old. And quite frankly, I feel like all of us can relate to this feeling. You're 8 years old. You have all of these thoughts swimming in your head. You've got ideas. You've got plans. But because you're 8 years old, you don't know how to articulate them. Or people, because you're young, because you are a youth.
Yeah.
They don't take you seriously, or they don't know what you're talking about, and it's a very, I think everybody can relate to that frustrating feeling of being a kid that adults don't take seriously,
right,
and don't nurture.
Yeah.
I think very, very much. Fought resistance nearly my entire life. And I think that especially true of like a kid who grew up in a religious family that had limitations and
oh, for sure.
expectations and all that other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, this is much more than the argument that could be had, you know, especially in 1995 of, I wanted a Nintendo 64, you got me a PlayStation kind of shit. Like, this is a kid, like you said, this is what you would call an old soul, which kids just still also fucking hate to be told. Like,
yeah, I feel like, I think the complex with being told that you're in an old soul is like, I don't know. I feel like being told like it just feels like being told as a kid that you're an old soul means that you are not like regulated properly by adults. And you were not like capable of remaining a kid for long enough.
Yeah. That or in one and regard.
I think that's where a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of where like the old soul resentment comes from. Cause it's just like, I think it's because kids are capable. Like people like to talk about, oh, kids are fucking stupid, and they're not stupid.
No,
they just don't, or they are just not necessarily always equipped with the tools to communicate their thoughts correctly,
right,
or in a way that is quote palatable to adults.
Yeah.
And I think that being told you're an old soul indicates like, oh, you are now like you were forced to readjust how you think and how you approach things.
Right.
To appeal to adults instead of being able to just be a kid.
A fucking kid. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think that's always the case, but I think that is because it's that thing is like, if you're like 10 and adults like really understand you, that is maybe a failing of the adults. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. And I mean, you know, like in the regard that like, I feel like most kids, when they would probably also hear that you're an old soul, like you don't want to feel like your grandma.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to feel like you've excelled, and it like it's right along with what you said. Like you don't want to feel like you've excelled from childhood just straight to Great Depression, right? Like
Yeah.
You want to feel like you actually have lived your life and had fun and not, you know, not just been put into this jar of old where people feel like you just kind of are. And again, like you said, like different. Like just having sitting at the adult table when you're a kid shouldn't maybe be a bad thing, but and I'll put the caveat on that. Like if you're at the kid table and you're like 10 and all of the other ones are like 4, like of course you're going to go sit with the adults, right? Like you're not going to want to sit there with kids who can't talk through things like you would as a kid.
Sure.
You know, you're not going to be able to hold a conversation with a 4-year-old unless you're maybe talking about like fucking Bluey. I can't think of anything these days, you know, like unless you're talking about like Blue's Clues, like, you know, that's what your level of conversation is. And at that point, you're just writing off nostalgia, but you're not progressing yourself forward. Where I guess if you at least sat at the adult table for maybe 10 minutes, you know, if they'll let you and not fucking yell at you, like you can maybe get something.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, kids do dumb shit all the time. Yeah. I can attest to that with
fucking adults.
And so do adults doing dumb shit.
Your beleaguered teenage son. Yes. We do remember,
you know,
the vibes were off.
Were very off. But doing dumb shit doesn't necessarily make you dumb. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the other thing that people like adults and parents really have to like remind themselves, like, yeah, your kid got a D on that test, but they're not fucking stupid. Like it's geometry. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I mean, or something, you know, something like that. I mean, but.
And that's digging into like learning styles.
Exactly.
Like,
so
how people think, like kids can be like smart and like not be good at testing. It's just like there's a whole conversation we can dive into on the school system,
right?
And how it fails the youth, yes, and all this stuff, but we won't go there. We don't have time.
No, we don't.
So yeah, just because somebody does a dumb thing doesn't mean that they are dumb unless you're Adam.
That's right. All dumb shit. It's also, all the time.
All dumb shit. All more like Adam Hilton, more like all dumb Hilton.
All there, dumb. Right? Got it. Love it. Put that on the t-shirt, baby. Hope you were rounding that applause.
Yeah. The other thing too that I do want to bring up, that since this kind of ties back into it. So before I say that, I'll say one more thing about this where it's like, I think that, you know, as kids, we were brought into this world kicking and screaming without our consent. Right.
Yeah.
And so there is, you know, I think a lot of parents, a lot of adults think that, well, I brought you into this world and I've given you everything and you owe me.
Right.
And we get to do whatever. But the kids didn't ask to be brought into the world. And there needs to be, you know, there's a base level of responsibility that a parent has. Like, yeah, you're supposed to because you did this.
Right.
I'm here because of you. So your basic level of responsibility is to put a roof over my head and to support me and put me through, do all this stuff.
Right.
Until I'm at least 18. Like that's the fucking contract. You have to do this because you brought me into this world. And I think then when you dig a layer deeper past that basic level of contractual responsibility of a parent, it is, as a parent, you need to put effort into understanding your child on their level.
Yes.
And not yours, which is where I was trying to get to with the whole old soul resentment and like thinking, because I think a lot of like kids who think very much above their age level. And it's not always this way. It's not always like this.
Sure.
But I think a lot of kids that think above their age level, this happened to me, were not met with understanding on their level,
right,
where they needed to be met, and instead were forced to level themselves up too quickly,
yeah,
to meet their parents and other adults on their level.
Sure.
And I think that's a failing of adults in that situation, yeah, where you talk about, where it goes back to this line, no one ever heard my thoughts right. I was fighting resistance my entire life, and it's because nobody tried to meet me on a level where I needed to be met for my thoughts and my ideas to be understood and heard.
For sure. And I mean,
yeah.
And I think in our instance, like specifically, like having three kids that are close-ish in age, and you know, my daughter doesn't mm-hmm. live with us 100% of the time, so like it's mm-hmm. it's always a different point of view. But you know, with even with the two that are here, almost 16 and now 13, like they are night and day different between what we would have maybe expected them to be. Let me rephrase that. Like 100% different from how we would have expected them to be between us. Like mm-hmm. I would have thought, and we would have thought that Aurora would have been like more like Carrie and Gabe would be more like me or something like that. And then Alice just, you know, gets to get the sprinkles every time that she's over. But you know, no, in the end, like Aurora's got more of my, kind of, I don't want to say fully like fuck everybody attitude, but like the attitude that's just like, I don't want to be around people. And of course Carrie has that, probably more mm-hmm. than I do even. But like Gabe picked up more on the, anxiety, this isn't working, what do I do, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I think it's kind of interesting like how the split happened, but they both of course have like sprinklings of both of us. But I mean, in the end, like we've tried to give them what we didn't have, and I feel like this mm-hmm. is both the tails and head side of what you were talking about, right? Like you try and give your kids what you had better. And you try and make sure your kids don't have to deal with a lot of the same things that you had to go through, right? Like mm-hmm. when yeah. Carrie was young and when I was young, like our older brothers essentially got removed from the house. Different circumstances between the two, but both ultimately between parent and brother fighting and all that. And you know, that's one of those things where it's like, I'm glad that we've, as parents, have been able to make it this far without something like that happening. And then I also have to throw the caveat on top of that, at least from my end, like as much as they're growing up in a blended style, like it's not the same style that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. So as much as it's like, and I think I have said before, like being the parent, being the dad, where it's like, you guys sometimes forget how different you had it to what we do. And I think perfectly to fit in with what you said, like we have had to like hold back and be like, well, your life is not like ours and we mm-hmm. don't want it to be, but it's like, we have to almost temper our emotions in some of those kind of, you know, in the aforementioned beleaguered instance where it's like, we have to temper it in one direction and not the other. You know, like you, yeah. you fucked up like this in one way, but thankfully for us, like as a family unit, like you're still coming back home, right? Like yeah. you fucked yeah. up. And as much as I would like to just see you in a child prison for a minute, like at least you know that in the end of the day, you have a place to come back to. You have a sheltered home. Right, like
well, you made him break his snap streak. So really, what's the difference between that and child prison?
About the same, frankly, right?
It's about the same.
So, I mean, I generations are scary, right? Like the concept of our children having grandchildren is probably this fight right here, or this song right here. I looked at the word mm-hmm. fight, but you know, like it's just, what the fuck are we doing as parents? I mean, mm-hmm. I remember back to, you know, when we were talking and you were like, for laundry, do I have to sacrifice? And it's like, motherfucker. Yeah. I mean, parenting's fucking weird, dude. Like,
it is weird. And when I think going back to it too, where you talked about the examples of you have three kids that are kind of the same, but also very different in their own ways. And when you talk about this whole responsibility of having to bring your understanding to their level and help them that way,
right?
Especially when you have multiple kids, you also have to realize that bringing the understanding to them is different for each of them. Like they need something different, so you have to do it differently.
Oh yeah,
it's like a big fucking puzzle, and you have to do it differently if you have multiple, and you have to understand that like it's not going to make sense to you sometimes, but you got to do your best to like parse it at their level,
right?
And parse it in a way that they need it. And I think that as generations continue, and as you know more, because again, like we're moving forward with like acceptance of mental illness and of queerness and yeah. of all this other stuff. And each generation gets more and more and more and more accepting of all that stuff. And each generation gets understands more and more than more that they cannot continue the cycles that they found themselves trapped in. And each generation is going to get better at giving that to the next generation. Like our generation is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but like we're better than the generation before us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, and, you know, I think Gen Zers are now getting to a point where they are now, you know, adults that can potentially, you know, the gap is like they can potentially now start getting into relationships and thinking about that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they'll likely be better at it than we are at the end of it. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's just that cycle and that just like recognizing your responsibility in that way.
Absolutely.
And eventually you won't have to fight against the youth because you'll understand that the youth is what's going to drag us into the future. So it's one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. Like there's things that, and it's not just slang, right? Like it's ease of life kind of things. Like it's quality, like in the gamer terms, like it's quality of life, like improvements. Yeah. Like it's just small things that each generation is starting to learn and exhibit that everybody's like, oh, that makes sense, but I never thought of that.
And it's also this like, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. Well, and like you said, like Gen Z is starting to become adults and kind of inverse to right here. Like it sucks sometimes that it seems like you have to become an adult to have the voice.
Yeah.
Like you have to, people have to have known that you've lived to actually have perspective, but nobody's perspective on what lived is, especially in what I had said earlier, like nobody's perspective on what you've lived is ever the same.
It's always different. And that's the other thing too, is that especially with the way the technology is advancing and the news and like everything is being delivered now, the idea of lived is changing because it is so much easier to get information and it's so much easier to live now than it was when our grandparents or our parents were kids, or even when we were kids. It's so much easier to then get that information to then have perspective now.
Yeah.
And so that paradigm is changing. It's just, we've got to like sit and really pay attention to like how stuff is evolving, right? And how life is evolving.
Yes. And I think with that, like our generation, yours and mine, will be probably more open to that in one way or another. Like we've been through a lot. I mean, I don't want to be the asshole that does not have regard to everything that millennials have sat through. But I mean, so too has Gen Z, and so too now has Alpha, as just being kids living through it. Like we live through, you know, recessions and wars, while kids have now lived through COVID and time alone and online schooling, which alone is a perspective of technology that many of like our generation would not have considered in high school, but is now a norm for many, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. And again, like, you know, our generation, like we lived through 9/11 and like all this other crazy stuff and the Iraq war and all this other stuff like that.
Right.
But now the generations now they're living through, like you said, COVID, they're living through Russia, Ukraine, and now they're living through like Israel, Palestine, and like all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, don't do a genocide.
Oh yeah, no.
That is all I will say about that. Don't do fucking genocide.
No, we don't. The fuck? We don't want to do that.
So it's just like the more things change, the more they stay the same, right?
Right.
And we like to think it's like, well, we went through all of this crazy stuff, and we did. And the important thing is to accept the fact that yes, we did go through all this fucking nutso shit, but so are they.
Yeah.
And so did they.
Yes.
Talking about like previous generations and like finding the common ground between each generation is how like shit gets done.
Right.
And it's so easy to get caught up in a us versus them versus us type of mentality that nothing gets done.
Yeah. 100%.
So. And then before, like one last thing before we move on, because I was thinking about this when you talked about in the first verse, talking about like you don't want to disappoint your parents. Like that's that kind of like thought process behind that. I saw this really great, I can't remember if it was like a post or something. It was like a Facebook post or something, but it was something like, to become the person you need to be, sometimes you can't be afraid to disappoint your parents a little.
Sure. Yeah. Like and sometimes you just have to live life.
Really, really, really great. Yeah. I thought that was a really great like sentiment. It was like, yeah, I mean, if you like, if I'm trying to do me, if I'm trying to get to where I need to be, if I'm trying to protect my mental health, that's not always going to vibe with what my parents wanted for me. My parents wanted me, like my dad was like, you got to go to college. I didn't go to college. You need to go to college. And when I was just like, I'm not going to college, he was very disappointed. But like, I'm here now, you know, and he's very proud of me about where I am and what I've managed to achieve. But that all started because I made a choice for myself. I was like, I don't want to go to college, and disappointing him in that way.
Right.
And doing what was best for myself, because I knew that if I went to college, I was going to burn out and I didn't know what I wanted to do. It was just going to be a big problem. Oh, and yeah. So I didn't. And I'm way happy.
Yeah.
For it, you know what I mean? And that's not everybody's path. That is not going to be the choice for everybody, but it was what I needed. And it involved letting my parents down in some kind of way.
Yeah. I mean, because I have the flip side of that where immediately after high school, I did try college knowing it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
But even through conversations with both parents, you know, obviously divorced 15 plus years at that point, still were like, are you sure? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably shouldn't right now. Well, we filled out everything. Okay, so I'll go. And of course, it didn't. It turned out exactly how I would have imagined it, because I knew I had not grown up enough at that point. Like, I did not do the amount of growing up that I should have to be like college and college homework and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not what I need right now. And schedule just didn't align. Like, none of it aligned. And it crumbled as I knew it would. And ended up still getting the lecture. And it's like, we all knew that this is what was going to happen. Like, I literally had said, you know, don't want to. But, and then I went back on my own dime in my own time and have completed, you know, an associate's and a half. I have two associate degrees, but figured out I could pick one up in the last semester. Right. So I'm not even going to, sometimes I don't even want to fully count that. But I mean, that is the perfect argument right there for many a kid, right? Like college, who wants to do college immediately right after? Like, you have kids who do, and you have tons of kids who don't, and they just get shamed into going or attending. And for anybody who realizes like you know, you don't, and even if it's a gap year, like fucking do it. Just take your time. When you graduate, you are told that you are an adult. So it is your time. Treat it as thus.
Yeah, absolutely. It's well, that's the other thing too, is that like I had just enough maturity at that, because the same theories, I was not grown up enough to do it, but I had just enough maturity to recognize that in myself. And I didn't know what I wanted to do instead of college, but I knew that whatever that was going to be better than the path I knew was going to be miserable.
Yeah.
And I think like that's the idea of like knowing what you need.
Right.
You know what I mean? And realizing that like no matter what choices you make and where it takes you, like you have to be the one to make those choices. You can't always let your parents decide your path for you.
Yeah.
Or the previous generation.
Yeah. I mean, because I wanted to teach. You know, my mom's been a teacher. Yeah. Was a teacher for 30 plus years. So it was like, hey, I can go teach English. I can go do that. I won't ever leave the town that I lived in, even though I hated it. But, you know, at least I'll be close to my parents' midpoint. I took the continuing education class, like, or whatever it was, like, intro to education. And then went to sit in the English class that I sat in myself and just saw how much I didn't want to be on the other end of that. You know, I mean, I just didn't turn in a lot of homework. I failed the class, but got a fucking A on the final, you know, and I still remember I remember the email that my teacher sent me. She was like, I'm so angry I could spit. Like, you have, you are the only one like to actually get an A on the final. That's cool. Like, I appreciate that. But in the end of the day, like, this life just
not what I want.
Not for me now.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to talk about the bridge?
Let's talk about the bridge.
Oh, man.
It's been enough talking about our generation.
So there's not, again, we talked about this in the chorus where we talked about, you know, can't stop the youth, never take us alive. Bridge kind of states, has the same thesis statement where it's just like, never going to take us, never going to break us. The future is ours and we're leaving everything else behind. And that's basically what it is. What I love about this bridge.
It has the same child's choir from Victorious.
No. I love that it's talking about the youth moving forward, but it uses that na 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 boob, yeah, that motif.
Yeah.
That, like, I love that because it's like that very like childish, like youthful, like na 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 na,
right,
like thing, talking about moving forward and claiming the future, which I think is great. I really love that.
It is a pretty good motif. I mean, really, between the never going to take us, never going to break us, it really is. Like, it's a good sound to it.
Mm-hmm. I also love like the little short, the guitar. But yeah, the bridge is great, and it transitions pretty neatly into the chorus. And then what I also want to do is I want to play the outro really quick, so I'll do that right here. And I love how the outro weaves
the first verse
and the first verse into each other. I really, really like that. Like, that's how we chose to end the song.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. If anything, we've always proven our love for the callback.
I love a callback. I love a callback. I love a whoa-oh. I love a clap. Don't love the clap.
Nope. Don't want that.
A clap, though. Don't want that. Want a clap, though. Like, yeah,
that clap.
But yeah, that is Can't Fight Against the Youth. Adam, you have anything else to say?
No.
Got a little deep there.
Yeah, we did. We got a little deep. We got a little personal. Got into.
I like when we do that.
Yeah.
I like that feeling.
Even when we shouldn't run a long episode, we somehow still do.
It's our specialty.
Oh yeah. Every time we say we can't, we won't. Or we will. One of the two.
I'm going to be honest. I'm glad I didn't say anything because I was legit like, should we do a twofer? And I'm glad we didn't. I'm glad I didn't say that up top because.
Yeah. Man, that would have been rough.
That would have
sucked. Yeah, we would
have been rough.
Called an audible halfway through the episode, mm-hmm. which is easier going one direction, not the other.
True.
No, I think it's a pretty good song. I'm glad that it's a bonus track. Like, that's maybe what I will say and where I can land. Like, still good. Glad it's a bonus. Don't know if I could have fit it in anywhere. I'm not going to try and do a placement. Fits, yeah.
I don't think it fits in the theming of the album.
No.
At all. I think it's very different. I think what we talked about, how like this is gospel being what it is actually about doesn't really fit the theming, but I'm glad it's there.
Right.
But even if you like tie it into like, if you ignore the fact that it's about Spencer, it's even like, even could fit into the vibe of the theming of the whole album.
Oh, for sure.
So it goes there. This one, everything in Too Weird is about like sex and relationship.
Right.
And woman and blah, blah, blah. This doesn't fit.
No.
It doesn't fit at all.
No.
So it is a good bonus track. I don't think it goes in the album, but I really do like it as a song.
Yeah. I think it's a good,
I think it bops as a song. Yeah. Again, like I said, entry level youthful rebellion, but it is a great song.
Yeah. It's a good panic song from this era, like this very short lived era. That is the Too Weird time. Like I think it fits. It works.
Yeah. 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 Well, okay. That's an episode.
It is. Next time. Next time, we've got All the Boys.
Yeah, we're talking about All the Boys. And then we're going to talk about the music videos. And then we're going to do our ranking.
Yeah. Creeping ever closer.
We've got creeping ever closer. We've got a few like songs to talk about after the ranking, but we're coming up on season 5 real quick. Ugh,
so weird. Yeah.
So weird.
Too weird. Fucking 1 year, 4 seasons. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. 1 year, 4 seasons.
How do you measure?
In daylight, in sunsets, in midnight,
in cups of coffee. Love it.
In inches, in miles, I love you by.
Love you, bye.